deepest darkness of Dromund-Kos, to the smelly sewers of Nar Shaddaa, to the brightest light that shine on Tython. This is Flashpoint.
Hi everyone, welcome to Flashpoint episode 68, recorded Sunday, November 10th. I'm your host David Holloway, and with me are two co-hosts who have previously been under active consideration, apparently, for a Nobel Prize in podcasting. Simon, how are you?
I'm drunk and angry.
So pretty much par for the course, good stuff.
Yeah.
Christy, how are you? What's been happening?
I am tired and exhausted. It's exam week, so it's all study here. Yeah.
So we're going to, as always, cover a fair whack of Star Wars The Old Republic, but for those that have been following MMO news in the last fortnight or even in the last two or three bloody days, it's been a big news week. So we're going to actually talk a fair bit about WoW this week, and if we get time, a little bit of The Secret World and Marvel Heroes, but mostly WoW. But first up, let's do Republic News.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Republic News.
So let's talk leveling first. I've actually put in some serious hours the last fortnight. I've been doing a lot of... I've been trying to finish the macro binocular quest, which I'm getting very close to the end of. And what I'm doing is getting waylaid by realizing how many achievements I haven't achieved on each of the planets as I go to them. And I'm running around trying to kill 50 of this and 50 of that to knock up some achievements. So I've been, doing lots of stuff with my 55, but also leveling my trooper. He's just about to hit 41 and start his fun on Belsarvis. Simon, been playing much?
Yeah, I have. Although for some reason I can't understand, it's hurting my brain trying to understand it. I started a new tune.
To add to the other 40 level ones you've got.
I don't know why I do this, but I just it's like I get possessed by something, and I just have to create a new tune with a name and a look, and so it's another damn Cathar, and it's a trooper, and hey. I wanted him to be bad, but he's not. He's a complete suck up toady. I don't know what the hell's going on. I've got no control over these characters at all. It's very annoying, but it's fun. It's fun. I'm running around and looking for bombs, and it's a long time since I've been on Ord Mandel, and I've got to admit, I kind of like it there. Yeah. It's a good starting world.
It is. I quite like it there too. But because that was my beta tune was smuggling, I liked it. Yeah, I liked that as a starting area. I know you've told me this about three times before, and I always forget. You actually do have a level 55 now, though, don't you?
I do. I just don't do anything with him.
No, I can understand that. So, Christy, you've been playing much?
I've been playing a little. Unfortunately, I've gone to the dark side completely and I started playing WoW again. But my Jedi Guardian, he's at 43 now, I think. Ooh, he's nice. He's off Hoth, so I'm like, oh, thank goodness. He's got his Tauntaun, so doesn't care about that place anymore. And, I think I'll probably be just giving Star Wars a rest until the double XP happens, and then just straight to 55 because I've got all these XP boosts as well.
Yeah.
I'm hoping they stack.
I don't know whether they will or won't. That's a good point.
No, they don't as far as I know.
I would have thought not.
You just have to keep take a new one as the old one runs out and deal with it. Life's tough.
I know.
So it's worth mentioning just again, and we'll talk about it again prior, but November 27th is when the Double XP week starts. So it goes right through till December 2nd, and I'll put the link in the show notes again there. So, yeah, I'm saving up my Sith Warrior for that week. In-game cartel coin purchases now live. I actually did notice that today, but I never actually clicked through. Simon, there's a bit of a deal going on with that, isn't there?
You get the 50%, if you're a subscriber, you get 50% off your first in-game purchase, so long as you've done the little song and dance you've got to do first, which is, because there's a couple of provisos, so won't work with PayPal. It's got to be a credit card, and let me just read this, so I don't want to do it from memory in case I put anyone wrong. Okay, so subscribers save 50% on their first in-game purchase of cartel coins through to November 30th. So, Christy, you haven't missed it.
Mm-hmm. Payday this week. Yes.
Yes, good. So there's the please note. To get started, you must opt in for in-game purchases of cartel coins by visiting your cartel coins ledger, which you access off Swaytool.com. If you haven't been there before, it just shows you all of the coins you've been granted and so forth. And from the Swaytool.com homepage, click My Swaytool, My Account, Cartel Coins. So that's fairly logical. If you've never made a purchase of cartel coins through the website, you need to do so by clicking Buy Cartel Coins, and you'll then be able to opt in for in-game purchases. So that's pretty straightforward. And if you've made at least one purchase of cartel coins through the website, you will be able to opt in. So if you haven't made a purchase already, you won't be able to do it in-game and get your 50% discount.
Wow, that's a little weird.
Yeah, so PayPal and something called Boku, which sounds like some form of Japanese soup to me. Payment methods are not supported.
I wonder what the issue is with PayPal. I mean,
well,
I'm thinking it probably because it will have to take you out of the game to go to, because, you know, when you buy something with PayPal, you've got to log into PayPal. Yeah, true, so yeah. I'm guessing because it will take you out of the game, they can't do it.
I think that's exactly
that way.
It. Yeah, whereas with a credit card, you don't have to do any authorization. It just goes through. So that makes sense, really.
Yeah.
Excellent. I just started to log into Swaytor to do that then and realise it was killing the Skype. So apologies if Simon dropped out a little bit. That was me trying to go in and activate my in-game purchases.
I think we're going to have to start using Audacity or something as a backup in case everything goes...
it's all part of the charm.
Barely functioning technology. Broadband, barely functioning hosts. So, yeah.
Good stuff.
Australia.
Synergy.
Community Cantina Austin. So it's been or it's coming? It's been, hasn't it?
It's November 22nd.
Yeah, so coming, okay.
At a delightful watering hole by the name of the Blackfin Ameripub.
Mm-hmm. It must be close to the office.
I would hope so. I should have probably Google mapped it to find out, because Stephen Reed, the closest place you could get a bacon shake on Google Maps, then I should have really done this, but never mind. But yeah, hopefully there will be someone who's going to go and record the thing, like JD from the Unnamed Swaytool podcast did, because that was very interesting just to listen to, just to hear the tone and just how many drunk people that were there before the thing even started. So I thought
I volunteer to go. If you want to pay for me to go, I'll happily take one for the team.
We'll do a Kickstarter. Let's send Christy to Austin.
Is that like a one way?
One way ticket. as long as Chrissy can submit the recording, we don't have to pay for your ticket back.
Oh, okay. I'll stick with that. You know, they've got better internet over there and cheaper games, so that's I'm happy.
Unless you're with Comcast, in which case, bah, bah.
I'll just have to, if there's any nice, sweet American people out there who would like to take in a poor little Aussie female, then please send us in an email to contact@oceanicgamer.com.
No.
That was well done. Yeah. I'm not sure.
Oh, my freaking God.
Yeah, given I'm the one that received those emails, I'm green the next week now.
Yeah, edit that bit out.
No, I'm leaving it in.
Yeah, you're going to leave it in. You always leave it in.
But
yeah.
I
our
promise,
whole 10 listeners, you know.
Chris Gill, I'll only pass on the non-creepy ones. So speaking of creepy, that sort of segues to Shonky. And speaking of Shonky, I believe EA may have won something in that regard.
Oh, yes. It's very exciting. Very exciting. Shonky's given out by Choice Magazine, which is Australia's... Well, it's Ralph Nader, I suppose, in paper form.
Yeah.
It's a consumer magazine that tries to chase up people who are doing bad stuff and also recommend people who are doing good stuff and have product reviews, all that sort of stuff. But anyway, they've awarded one of their annual Shonky Awards has gone to EA for charging, or EA Australia, I think specifically, for charging customers $2.48 per minute to complain during the SimCity launch. Well, if you can call it a launch, it's failure to launch in most cases, I think, for most people. EA did actually respond to their credit and they apologized, saying that, sorry, people who were charged, no mention of whether they were going to get their money back, obviously. But the regional PR manager, Snezana Stojanovska.
Yes, I know. I've met Snez once.
Yeah?
Yeah. When they did the Australian launch, and I still get the press releases from Snez. So, yeah, I can imagine she would be the one responding.
You should have told me that I could just call her Snez instead of having to squeeze that name out with such difficulty. Never mind. Moving on. Anyway, she said that they agree with customer sentiment and long story short, any such complaint calls are going to end up getting routed through to a local Melbourne number or local call rate.
As it should be.
Which is great, unless, of course, you're in Perth or anywhere outside of the Melbourne metropolitan area. But I suppose it's still a little bit better.
Anyone living in Melbourne that would like to take in a nice Aussie female?
Oh, shut up.
But it is the best city to live in, though, if you're going to move somewhere, Christy.
Oh, I did want to go to Monash and do my robots. So, and my uni here is really, really, really not fun. I had a swear word there, but I thought I'd be very, very nice. And, so I might actually be moving far, far away very soon.
There you go. So maybe you should think about Kickstarter. So, yeah, all right. Well, I mean, EA is Shonky. All right. And yep. I didn't realize that was the Choice. I just knew I'd heard of the Shonky Awards, but yeah, Choice Magazine.
Yeah. I don't know why anyone would actually end up calling one of those numbers because you can, if you can, generally, like when I was trying to call BioWare for something during the beta, I ended up, because I think the call ended up getting routed through to, is it call center in Ireland?
Yes, I've done that recently, yeah.
And I found the easiest thing to do rather than paying a toll call. Because there was no toll-free number, was I just used Skype and rang the 1-800 number, which didn't cost a cent. So,
I was going to say, yeah, I brought credit to make a phone call on Skype to BioWare and it didn't end up actually charging me.
No.
So I've got like $20 on my Skype account. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, I think the way I did it, it was pennies. I could have stayed on hold for half a day and I wouldn't have had to pay much for that at all. So, yeah, if you ever do have to read offshore or if there's an offshore number you've got to dial, for God's sake, look into what alternatives you can access through Skype because it's amazing how you can get around things. And why add to the frustration you're already feeling because something just fell over? Which reminds me, Xbox One launch not too far off now.
No, it's not. Yeah,
actually, I shouldn't jump into that now, but I will. Today I was at a local shopping mall and, one of the EB Games franchises had their big displays and they've had them there for probably over a month now, pre-order the Xbox and the PS4 or whatever. And I know with the PS4 and I think the Xbox One's the same, it says pre-order now, $549, whatever. And then it says, so it's pre-order now so that you can be in the priority queue for 2014. So I assume that means that they're obviously going to have more demand than supply and that you're essentially pre-ordering to be in a queue.
Yes. That's what you're doing with the PlayStation 4 at the moment. Xbox One, you can still pre-order for day one.
Okay.
From most retailers. So not from the Microsoft store, so don't bother with that. But JB and EB and so forth, you can still jump in there and get your black brick without any problem at all. And we will go back to Star Wars in just a second, but I have to say I was thinking because I've got a PS3 and an Xbox 360. I was thinking I can't justify two. I haven't played anything on the Xbox for ages. So I turned it on, I had a bit of a look through it and thought, I like the interface, I do like the controller, because I started off with an Xbox and I enjoyed the 360. But the one thing I didn't enjoy about the 360 was the Xbox Gold Live subscription, the mandatory subscription.
Yes.
Mm. And you can say, oh, you don't really have to pay for it, blah, blah, blah. Well, you do if you want to use iView, which is a catch-up service. If you want to use the channel 1, 10, 11 thingy, not including the Foxtel subscription, you still need Xbox Gold to get even that far into that damn thing. The thing that really pissed me off though, and made me unplug it and think, yeah, no regrets, off you go, was I tried to use Internet Explorer on the 360, and what did it say? You need an Xbox Gold Live subscription to be able to use this.
See, I'd need to pay to use Internet
Explorer. It's a freaking web browser.
And it's a shit web browser at that.
Well, I don't know because I've never got to try it on the 360 because it won't let me.
Anyway.
So, yeah, that was – and I thought, nah, screw it. I'm done with you idiots.
Mine was that you couldn't play with your friends unless you had a subscription. I'm like, they're my friends. I want to play with them.
Hmm. Yeah, I mean, I'm very much leaning PS4, but once I realised I was pre-ordering to go into a queue, I thought, I'll just wait.
Just leave it. Just leave it.
Yeah, I'm going to – the moment I have a spare, what is it, $600 or $500, and I walk into a shop and there's one there, I'll buy it. But
yeah, exactly.
I have an awesome computer and a controller plugged into it, so I'll survive. It'll be hard, but I'll survive.
And we've got a ton of content coming on the Old Republic.
Yeah, so. Beautiful segue.
Yeah, so, I mean, why would you want to go for one of those little boxes when you've got a big box already full of gaming fun?
Yeah, I agree.
And you may be able to get the character name that you want.
That's right. All right, so let's move back to, if not Star Wars, the Old Republic Star Wars, and that's the Academy Award-winning segment that we call My Lore is Stuck in Your Canon. Now, Simon, you're... distant colleague, ODS1, do you have any idea what he's covering this week?
Well, he actually tweeted that he was putting, what was it, it's about the Galactic Republic this time.
Oh, good.
He also noted that suggestions for future episodes would be tolerated, so if anyone's got any thoughts, go for it.
Please. And I think it's fair to say that he's getting a bit, with all the media engagements after launching this segment, that this segment may not be every episode to maintain the brilliant quality it is. It may actually go to a little bit more infrequent.
Well, yeah, well, the media engagements are one thing. It's the damn mangy stray cat that he picked up that's bothering me more.
Oh.
For some reason, it's apparently called Mr. Fufu Kitty Face. I don't know why.
Fufu Kitty Face.
Yes.
Well, if Mr. Fufu Kitty Face needs a brother, I have a mangy cat here who has stolen my computer chair. I am on the dining chair.
Well, given that you're saying you're going to move to Melbourne, can't you two be flatmates? And then that solves half the audio issues because you're both in the one spot.
Well, that is a point. But in all honesty, Mr. Fufu, from what I've seen of him, Mr. Fufu Kitty Face does not really need a brother. He needs a lethal injection.
Oh. Sounds ominous.
He's not well.
Oh.
All right, so let's jump into My Lore is Stuck in Your Canon and the Galactic Republic.
Why, thank you, Master David. Your introduction bordered on coherent today. Well done. this episode we, which is to say you, are going to be learning a little bit more about the Galactic Republic. Over the course of its 25,000-year existence, it proves one thing, and that is, ultimately, nothing really matters. Having said that, the fundamental ideas behind its inception are great and worthy ones, if utterly unachievable. The Galactic Republic was the pragmatic outcome of a series of conflicts generally referred to as the Unification Wars. These were fought by the dominant civilizations of the time, among them the Azure Imperium, the Asellian Empire, and the Jurosian Sodality. It became clear to them that the ongoing animosity was counterproductive, and in 25053 BBY, a member of House Organa of Alderaan drafted what was to become known as the Galactic Constitution in an effort to state explicitly common principles and unite what would become known as the Core Worlds. The Constitution proposed a representative democracy with a trinary power structure, executive and legislative, both of which would be housed within the Galactic Senate and its General Ministry, plus a judicial branch which included both the Supreme Court and the regional courts. The Constitution was ratified the year it was drafted, and the Republic was born. Shortly after its formation, the Pelemian trade route was charted, and Coruscant and Ossus, home of the Jedi, was linked, bringing the Order into the Republic. Another world on this route was Munilinst, home of the Intergalactic Banking Clan and what would become the Republic Credit. Over the next 1,000 years, other trade routes were mapped, including the Corellia Run, which provided a direct link between Corellia and Coruscant. While the Republic government wanted expansion to be slow and measured, it instead boomed with prospective members keen to join, probably more for protection against the Hutt Empire than anything else, but a member's a member. A mere 50 years after its founding, Coruscant had officially become a galactic hub, and for the next 500 years, the Jedi and Republic Army and Navy kept the peace until the first schism, the first but not the last breakaway movement in the Jedi Order. These Jedi believed the true power was gained through emotion and not just through passive meditation. In 24,000 BBY, the Tyanis War began, and it was only won by the Republic because they provoked the Hutts to take up arms against the Honorable Union of Desavo and Tian. After the war, most of the Tian cluster swore allegiance to the Republic. The expansion of the Republic continued between 20,000 and 17,000 BBY, and in 15,500 BBY, Coruscant was attacked by the Dewi Nuoguin, or Star Dragons, which is easier to say. After an unfortunately catastrophic first contact, the conflict was only ended by the successful negotiations of the then Supreme Chancellor Falorin and the Star Dragon philosopher Bors Matto, who went on to found the University of Coruscant. Regrettably, not all Supreme Chancellors proved as enlightened as Falorin. In 12,000 BBY, Supreme Chancellor Contispex, a member of the theocratic Pius Dei cult, held the fanatical belief of the inferiority of aliens. Sanctioned crusades were repeatedly waged against the Rim territories for the next 1,000 years by Contispex and his descendants until the cult was violently exterminated. Around 9,000 BBY, Blotus the Hutt was elected Supreme Chancellor by the Senate and, unusually for a Hutt, ruled the Republic with a just hand for his 275-year tenure. In 7003 BBY, the Second Great Schism began when a group of fallen Jedi discovered a technique that could alter living creatures by manipulating the Force. This began the Hundred-Year Darkness, and as you may remember from the last episode, the Second Schism ended with the Battle of Korbos in 6900 BBY, and those fallen Jedi were banished only to find their way to Korriban and sow the seeds of the Sith Empires. In 5000 BBY, the Great Hyperspace War began, which the Jedi eventually won. Following this historic victory, the Jedi were granted custody of a Force Nexus on Coruscant, a mountain upon which a great Jedi temple was built. In 4250 BBY, the Third Great Schism began. Once again, a group of Jedi who wished to learn more about the dark side was suppressed and then banished. In 4019 BBY, four Jedi Masters established the ziggurat of the Jedi Temple upon the Coruscant Force Nexus, where it would stand for the next 4,000 years until the fall of the Order. In 4015 BBY, Coruscant saw one of its more unusual disruptions in the Great Droid Revolution, led by the heroic HK-01. Unfortunately, this dawning of a new Golden Age was crushed by the Jedi with their usual pink-litter sledgehammer. Circa 4000 BBY, the Republic was almost destroyed during the Old Sith Wars. Now that's an umbrella term for a series of conflicts that lasted until the end of the Sith Civil War in 3950 BBY. It includes such things as the Mandalorian Wars, the Jedi Civil War, which you might remember involved Darth Revan and Darth Malak, the Ondran Civil War, the Dark Wars, and the First Jedi Purge. In 3681 BBY, the Sith Empire, after biding its time and rebuilding its strength after the Republic tried to destroy them, struck back against the Republic in the Great Galactic War. In 3653 BBY, after 28 years of war, the Republic was in a desperate economic state. When the Sith proposed a cessation of hostilities, the Republic Senate leapt at the chance, even knowing that the Sith motives were questionable. While the summit was in progress on Alderaan, the Sith launched a surprise attack on the Republic capital, and the sacking of Coruscant began. Resistance quickly failed, and with the planet as hostage, the Sith forced the Republic to divide the galaxy in two and force all Republic forces and Jedi to withdraw from open conflict and surrender a number of outlying worlds that were also ceded to the Sith Empire. Which, of course, is where we are today, gentle listener. Now, in a future episode, we will use ancient Rakatan technology to gaze into the future and see what becomes of the Republic and the Empire. On a final note, let me leave you with this advice. If anyone waxes nostalgic about the good old days of the Republic, they either don't know their history, or they're just some crazy old hermit living out beyond insert geographical feature here. Master David.
I love that robot, I think. So let's move on to talking about some other stuff. And when I say stuff, I'm really talking about World of Warcraft this episode. So unless you've been living under a rock, one of the opening announcements of BlizzCon, so Blizzard's big, well, it's not annual, is it? It's every 2 years? BlizzCon's every year, sorry. Yeah. It's just, yeah, I'm thinking that the big announcements for games don't tend to happen every year. But they announced that the next WoW expansion, or the details of it, and it's going to be called Warlords of Draenor. So for those that play WoW, you know that the Draenor is... See, I shouldn't even try and get into lore because I just make a dick of myself. But Draenor, from my understanding, is the birth planet that a couple of the races that we see in WoW came from, and not just the Draenei, but...
Space Goats.
Orcs. And the Orcs. Yeah, Orcs. Yes. Was their home planet.
So it's a bit the Burning Crusade, but not.
Yes, and actually we'll get on to that. That's what blows my mind. So for those that played WoW many years ago, the portal through to the Burning Crusade content is Draenor, well, what would you would say is modern-day Draenor, and then this expansion will be what it was like. That's fair to say, isn't it, Christy? That's my understanding of it anyway.
I'm not going to confirm or deny...
I'm pretty sure that's the case. So just the way they describe it, and I'll put a link in the show notes. But anyway, they've run out of continents to have on Azeroth, although I'm sure they'll find another one day. But so they've decided to give us instead a whole new planet to play the expansion.
If you run out of continents, does that make you incontinent?
Was it last episode we started talking about manual? No, what was it? There was something bow related we got into, and I explained to you and Tio afterwards what it meant.
Yes. Don't do that again.
For 2 weeks, yeah. I only just had lunch today. That was the first thing I've eaten.
That's right. Oh, that's funny. So, yeah, Warlords of Draenor, there's no release date set for it yet, and, I know there definitely wasn't in the announcement. I'm sure there's lots of conjecture. If I was going to guess, I would have thought it'll be first half of next year.
I reckon end of next year.
End of next year, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, the last Mr. Pandaria was it an October or November launch? It was around then anyway, last year. So yeah, that could be about right. But the key features, as I said, in case you've been living under a rock, the new zone, obviously, so the new planet, which from memory, was it seven zones within the planet? Anyway, something like that. Level cap increased to 100, which interests the hell out of me in that Mr. Pandaria only raised the level cap from 90 to 95. Have I got that right?
85 to 90.
Sorry, yeah, I'm thinking, no, that's not right. Yeah, 85 to 90. So this is twice the level cap, although as I wrote in an article, that doesn't necessarily mean there's twice the level up content. They could just double the experience points for each quest and still achieve the same thing. But I'm hopeful that means a little bit more questing and leveling for someone that likes doing that. But another interesting bit is that you can level one of your toons straight to 90 so that you can experience the new content straight away, which particularly old players, I imagine, will be wrapped in. For example, I have, you know, a few level 30s and 40s that I'll, you know, love to start off at 90.
You can level a level one as well. So new players who have never played the game before, if you buy WoW during the expansion, you can create your level one and zap him straight up to 90.
Very good point.
Oh, that's insane. Who the hell wants a level 90 noob running around?
Well, that's
what Blizzard has solved that problem. They are going to be creating like an optional practice/starting zone, a bit like the Death Knights had. So you can level your toon to 90, but you'll still have an induction into not just playing WoW, but for also returning players, because let's face it, every year it changes so much. And so you'll be able to get up to date. But yes, unfortunately, it will probably mean lots of noobs. And not to mention day one of the expansion, like 99% of people are going to be there.
Imagine 2 months after this goes live and everyone's running around at 100 and you start doing your pugs for your heroics or whatever, and you get into a five-man and three of them are people that are playing WoW for the first time 2 months ago. That's going to be shit.
I think I might have to go back in just so I can sit on general chat and watch what happens.
Yeah, that's right. Although, can I say, it might actually, I should be welcoming this, because it actually might make me look good in a pug. Maybe. I won't get my hopes up.
Well, I was going to say, I started a level one shaman on Monday, whenever it is I started playing WoW again. And I have done nothing but dungeons with her since level 15. She's now 60-something. She's in the Burning Crusades, and she's only done dungeons this whole time. And I must admit, like, even at Burning Crusade, the dungeons are so, so easy.
Yeah.
It really are. Like, I mean, I haven't really done dungeons in Wrath, Katar, and Panda, so I'm hoping it gets harder. But, yeah, pretty much the tank aggroes the whole dungeon, and unless I get silenced or stunned or something ridiculous, we don't wipe. So... Yeah.
As a general, they are easier now. I mean, I remember in Burning Crusade being totally gobsmacked by some of the Hellfire Peninsula dungeons that names escape me at the moment. But, yeah, they've dumbed them down, and obviously as you level up, they get easier as well. But, yeah. So, yeah, level straight to 90 if you so desire. Probably the biggest or the newest bit of this expansion is the introduction of garrisons. So they obviously introduced the farms in Missa Pandaria, but this is more about player housing, kind of. You can, and when you're questing, the NPCs you come across during your quest end up going to work in your garrison to build it further. So I got a bit excited as far as it reminded me a little bit of the original Warcraft games, as far as you've got your little zone and you build yourself up. And I won't be surprised, not for this expansion, but down the track, whether they develop that bit more, like they do have pet battles, and that you can actually play a bit of old style Warcraft, do quests and stuff based out of your garrison.
Well, that's an interesting idea. So almost like a mini game,
yeah,
kind of.
Because I mean, they were great games, and if you just you can get away with it from an immersion viewpoint by the. You know, instead of just being down on the ground looking out from your eyes as the avatar, you're really just taking that top-down view for a little while. And, you know, it's no worse than half the other immersion-breaking stuff in MMOs.
Yeah.
So
is it going to be like a dimension like in Rift? So it's like it's all instanced?
Yeah.
How's that going to be phased?
Yeah.
It's going to be phased. So it'll be an area, you walk into it, and then suddenly you'll see yours, but you will be able to visit other people's garrisons. So I'm guessing it'll probably be like your friends list, you know, go to their garrison phase and then you'll zap there. But it's also going to be very important for your profession. So things like, as David was saying, with the NPCs, like if you come across a miner, he might join up and he'll start actually mining for you. So, they've already said that professions are going to be quite linked in with the garrisons. For those of us who actually kind of like crafting, hopefully it makes it that little bit more in depth than just going out and harvesting, you know, 500 of something and leveling up.
I wonder if there's a way to recruit an archaeologist, because I spent an hour and a half today trying to level up my fucking archaeology. That's the worst of all the professions. But anyway. So garrisons, and so the garrisons, and one other thing makes me think that this is a game that has a lot of life in it yet. And the other thing is the new art update. So each of the races are getting an art or styling update, but they also, in an indirect way, allude to that they're trying to make some further improvements to the graphic engine as well. So these are not the sort of decisions you would expect from a company that's winding down a game.
And yeah, well, one of the things is they're boosting the minimum specs, which, I mean, considering that they pretty much haven't boosted the minimum specs since the game got launched, it's kind of funny that they're doing it now. But, so now you probably have to have a five-year-old computer to play WoW instead of a, you know, antique, 486 or something like that.
Yes. I mean, it's still, if you want to compare graphics, it's no Call of Duty, Gale, but WoW with its cartoon styling, and if it gets a bit of a tweak, it's still going to be pretty appealing. And I mean, one day, I'm no IT person, obviously, but I would have thought one day, if there's still a lot of people paying for subscriptions, why wouldn't you totally update the engine in that all of our, you know, achievements and gear and everything is just essentially numbers in a database? There's nothing stopping them doing a full update at some stage.
The engine they've built on is not, it was pretty old when they built WoW on it, and it's not really updatable. But yeah, there's nothing stopping them from recreating essentially the whole game and then just copy and pasting the data across.
How hard could it be?
It would only take probably about 6 years, but hey.
Yeah, look, and as my nephew who plays WoW on and off mentioned to me this evening, that, you know, it's been around 10 years pretty much, which is pretty amazing.
It's old. I'm kind of hoping they update the Druid models because I started leveling my Tauren Druid, and like the new travel mode, the elk, it looks really, really cool. But when you go into the water, his seal form is absolutely terrible.
It's always been terrible, though.
I know. So please, Blizzard, please. Are you updating the races? Can you update the Druid forms as well?
Oh, just please. Just do something about the boomkin so it doesn't look like a fat ass owl bear thing.
Yeah.
I mean, God Almighty! Considering how much. It doesn't matter how anything you transform into, if it doesn't look halfway decent, what's the point?
See, and thank you yet again, Simon. This will be the fat-assed owl episode.
Oh.
So I'm just going to type that in.
One of the things with the races is that they're not releasing them all at launch either. So your race might have to wait until updates further down the track.
Yeah, and that's true. They're very much saying it's a staged process. But yeah, I was just very encouraged by the scope of the, and we haven't talked about everything. There's world PV, some new world PvP stuff. Check out the trailer. The trailer's on our website. If you go to battle.net too, you'll see it there pretty prominently. But also related, not necessarily directly to WoW, but some of it is BlizzCon so far, they've announced that Project Titan is on hold. Reason being given that they didn't feel it was up to their normal standards. So
that's, or it just doesn't exist.
Yeah, that's my feeling as well.
I was going to say, it's not up to our standards. Isn't that pretty much the stock standard go-to line?
Yeah.
Because you can't get angry. You can't go, oh, come on, you know, why not release a half-done, baked idea?
And he probably links on from what I'm just saying about the longevity of WoW. They probably need WoW to have get another 3 years out of it until they can work out what the hell replaces it now. Maybe they'll buy BioWare or EA. That's never going to work. That's never going
to
work.
No, they're trying to buy themselves out from underneath Vivendi's sinking corpse.
Yeah. Anyway. Warcraft movie. There's been a little bit more information about that, Christy. Apparently, that it'll focus on the when you say it says origin story, origin of Azeroth.
More Warcraft original, so humans versus orcs is going to be the main theme. Yeah, so I'm not sure how many of the maybe the newer races are going to be in it, but yeah, it seems to be focusing more on how Warcraft started, which I think is awesome.
I'm so nervous about that movie whenever it comes out. Because if it's like as good as, say, a Harry Potter or a Hobbit movie or a Even the Narnia movies, I'd be thrilled. I just worried it could be more like, you know, the original Spider-Man TV series.
Or Dune. Although Dune is a classic movie.
Yeah, I'm just nervous. I'm just
hoping that it could make it so I'm not ashamed to tell people that I play Warcraft.
Well, that's really what it comes down to. Is it going to be totally cheesy and the lore doesn't hold up in a movie environment, or it does? Because I've never felt any real passion for the lore compared to, say, Star Wars or whatever, so we'll see.
I love the lore in the RTS games, but ever since it came to WoW, like the MMO, I kind of just get confused. But
yeah,
if you asked me like 15 years ago about Warcraft, I would have been able to tell you everything. But now, not so much.
See, I World Tree, and then I run out beyond that. That's about it.
There's nothing wrong with not being the red shirt guy, okay? Just so you know.
Nobody wants to be a red shirt, whether it's, you know, Warcraft or Star Trek.
I love those games so much. Warcraft 3 in particular, I played to death.
I was a Warcraft 2, Warcraft 1 and Warcraft 2 girl. I didn't really play Warcraft 3.
So, yeah.
Okay, have you both finished lubing each other up about this?
So, well, last WoW, well, actually not the, it's nearly the last WoW thing. So they've also said that WoW won't be going free to play anytime soon. So I know
anytime soon is the disclaimer there. They definitely said they said it's not going to happen anytime soon, but it really did sound like they, there might be possibilities in the future. I kind of feel like, especially with the level cap raising to 100, I don't know, they're kind of toning it down, you know, not ready to put it to one side yet, but it just doesn't really feel like it's their big priority anymore.
Well, but the level cap's been going up more and more gradually for the last few expansions anyway, so it's not like there's nothing new in this.
Although the level cap seemed doubling compared to the last one. So
yeah,
last
exactly.
Two. Yeah, because Kata was only 5 as well.
Yeah, it was 80 to 85. Yeah, that's right. But as I said, that could be just all smoke and mirrors, depending on how they structure it. Like, I've just got 400,000 XP for killing those 5 Murlocs. So yeah, we'll see.
Well, maybe what they'll end up doing is just lopping the last 0 off and just shifting that decimal point over.
Well,
hey everybody, you're level 10. New level cap 20.
Yeah. They did do that with what was it? There was something in game that they literally did that. They knocked the decimal point to the left. It was with stats, something to do with stats anyway.
Well, the numbers have gotten getting so ridiculously large now that they're going to have to do that. Either that or create level tiers. So tier 1 is 1 to 100 and then you've gone to tier 2, which the first iteration is 1 to 20, so I mean that would be one way of dealing with it so you didn't feel like you were going backwards. But who knows if that's even possible.
We shall see.
We shall.
Heroes of the Storm has been announced. So it's, Chris, do you want to talk about it? It's like Dota 2 in the Blizzard universe. I mean, I've never actually played a lot of Dota beyond in Warcraft 3. I know I played a couple of the Dota maps there. But so there's a beta.
Yes, the beta sign-up is available now. There's a trailer out, which Nova does very, very well in. But essentially, it's pretty much the heroes of Blizzard fighting each other. Those who remember when Dota 2 came out with Steam and all that controversy with Blizzard. But, I'm starting to think Blizzard it's kind of like Apple. They've stopped innovating now and they really are just blatantly copying everyone else.
Yeah.
Which is kind of like the next bit, which is the Hearthstone, which is a trading card game.
So we talked about that last episode, but cover it briefly again. They've announced it's going into open beta in December and that the iOS/Android versions are in development, though still looking close to a year away. See, to me, and I mentioned this last episode, that's missed the boat totally. I would have thought the real strength of it, that they would have sold millions of copies of it if people could play it on their phones or tablets.
Yeah, I mean, I've got a lot of friends in the beta at the moment and they absolutely love it, but I'm sure they would absolutely love it a ton more in the sense of spending more money on it is if it could be played on portable devices.
Toilets the world over would, you know, resonate with the sound of Hearthstone. I guarantee you. I'm playing a thing called King's Empire on my phone during toilet time and it's basically similar to that. So there you go. You find out everything on this podcast.
You should probably get one of those Sony Xperia phones. You know, the waterproof ones. Accidents happen, you know.
That's true. Active. See, there's a real incontinence theme going through this podcast.
But look, as far as missing the boat, you could say that with Minecraft. When Minecraft first appeared, there was a 360 edition for it. Everybody was saying, oh, everyone's over Minecraft now. It was too late, missed the boat. It's been huge on Xbox. And now it's
–
and it's going to be a next-gen game on both of the new consoles as well. So, it's – maybe not. Maybe Blizzard actually do know what they're doing.
Yeah, and missed the boat's actually a bad term I've used there in that probably I'm talking from a marketing viewpoint in that ideally – you would have it launching on PC and portable devices to maximize your revenue.
I reckon release it on the portable devices first.
Well, yeah, ideally,
then bring it to the computer. I mean, it's a card game. You don't need like a Titan graphics card for a card game.
No,
but there's also you could also argue that it's actually building demand through restricting supply. Or restricting availability, people start getting a bit addicted to it on their home computers. I mean, the whole thing's been was in closed beta. Now it's going into open beta. Is that right?
Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
because a lot of people were interested in that. I mean, yeah, you could argue that they've screwed it up, but somehow I don't think they probably have.
No. That's just my gut.
You could be very right there.
I know a lot of people, especially playing WoW, waiting for their dungeons to pop, will play it at the same time. So,
oh my god!
Yeah, see, that's. But then I know
because when you're not getting enough WoW, you can have WoW.
I can. Yeah, I just know people used to play Bejeweled on their flight. There was an add-on for that, wasn't there? You could play Bejeweled while you're on your flight paths. I know people used to play that all the time in game.
Wow.
And for those of you that played StarCraft 2, there's a whole map based on Bejeweled that's quite fun, actually. Speaking of other Blizzard games, Diablo 3. So they've confirmed at BlizzCon the removal of the Real Money Auction House, although from memory they did a post a couple of weeks back pretty much saying up front
what's going to happen. But now they've confirmed it's going to happen with the new expansion.
It's a shame in some ways. I know the issues they've had with it, but it was was potentially one of the first big games to prove that that model could work really well, but it hasn't.
They've also kind of shot themselves in the foot because they said that it was so integrated into the system they couldn't remove it, and now they've removed it, and Diablo 3's not that old. So kind of Blizzard, you've broken our trust there a little.
Yep. And so, as you mentioned, they've announced an expansion, Reaper of Souls. I assume it's like WoW, they haven't announced a release date?
No, in development, I believe, was the word they used. But the biggest thing, I mean, besides the usual stuff that comes with an expansion of Diablo, but adventure mode is coming back, which is a bit like, you know, when you used to play Diablo in Diablo 2, you'd go back to your old zones and just go around killing things for fun and giggles. Now it's going to be encouraged and there's going to be random rewards, random bosses and all that sort of stuff. So it sounds kind of like they're trying to bring it back to Diablo 2 since Diablo 3 kind of, I wouldn't say flopped, but especially with Torchlight and all that out at the time, you know, a lot of people wanting their dungeon point and clicks went elsewhere. So maybe this will bring people back to Diablo 3.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just looking at the Diablo 3 icon on my dock here. I haven't clicked it in 6 months, but maybe with the expansions announced, I might give it a go. It's certainly better than Marvel Heroes.
Yeah, problem is it's going to come with a price tag. So
yeah, true. actually, and I will mention Marvel Heroes briefly here. They've I just realised I don't have it here in front of me, but Game Update 2.0 is either about to launch or has launched, set in Asgard. I'm just having a quick look here while it downloads. And that Loki is one of the playable characters now. I do remember that part. And that they've increased the roster of characters you can start out playing. That's really the only announcements. I'm just so cynical about Marvel Heroes now, I sort of just skim read it and delete the email. But I thought, well, Game Update 2 is a fairly significant milestone. Simon, as a fellow devoted Marvel Heroes player?
No, I'm just thinking the best way to defeat Loki would be run into a small wood with a lot of low-hanging branches.
Oh, that's why we have you on this podcast. It's for that insight.
It's the most stupid helmet in the world.
Yeah, it is rather. It is rather. Oh, dear. I mean, yeah, I don't even know. I feel like we should cover Marvel Heroes in more depth, but...
I'd like to cover it in more depth. Maybe about a mile would be deep enough.
Yeah, a mile of, soil.
I don't know. I might check it out. I love Asgard.
I think I'm just totally put off every time I launch it. It's got, 68 gigabytes of updates to download, and I just give up and go and play something else. I just can't keep – I mean, it's bad enough. Well, Star Wars has got a little bit more respectable as far as download times, but, Secret World's still got a bit in it too. Speaking of which, Issue 8 is now fully live for the Secret World. So they're called the Venetian – it's not Effect Agenda. The Venetian Agenda, I think it's called. And they've also got their Halloween – well, they did have their Halloween stuff going on, and so there's still a bit going on in there. I've played actually a fair bit of it beyond I'm having massive technical problems, and I don't think it's the Secret World's end. I think it's my end. I'm getting huge lag issues and other stuff running it on the virtual machine for Windows.
Yeah, I think once my exam's over, I'm going to spend like 2 days straight in the Secret World.
Yeah, it's gold, as we keep saying, Gail. So that'll do in MMO land, unless you want to try. I think we'll move on to what we call the Jawa junk pile, which is anything else. And this, the first one, is very Star Wars related in that there was a great article in the Sydney Morning Herald the other day that Haynes, who publish manuals or blueprint books, have released one on how to build your own Death Star.
I'm going to get it, and I'm going to change my major to engineering and bitch out losers.
Yeah, and I'm just, I thought I'd had this.
Yeah, well, good luck acquiring the materials over the next 830 odd thousand years.
Well, yeah. I didn't say it'd be tomorrow.
No.
So it's 100, I've just bought it, it's a 120 page guide, provides the technical specs of the battle station, includes cutaway blueprints of the ultimate power in the universe and design plans for the super laser that functions as the space station's primary weapon. So it's the latest in a series of owner's workshop manuals for fictional vehicles.
Does it include expansions to ammo so they, make sure that they shoot all ships flying out, whether or not there's life signs on them?
You would think so. You'd think they would have learnt.
Does it include a where to buy the baking tray to slip over the thermal exhaust port?
Let's reinforce that section, I think.
Well, as you said, Simon, as far as the cost, and now economists have calculated that it would cost more than $914 trillion just to obtain the raw materials needed to build a real Death Star.
Wow. So if you're rich and want to support us in building our own Death Star...
I just love that there were economic students that calculated it, and they in Pennsylvania in the US, and they go to, and I kid you not, Lehigh, L-E-H-I-G-H University. They were certainly high on something doing that. And it would take more than 833,000 years to obtain the supplies and require 1 quadrillion tons of steel.
That's assuming it was made out of steel.
Yeah, that seems a bit bizarre to me, but anyway.
And anyway, if he found the forge or how to build the forge, he'd just need to get that to produce all the bits and pieces.
Yeah, true.
I think I'll just rely on becoming a Jedi and learning the Force. Probably be a bit easier than building a Death Star.
Of course, the main weak point was for the Death Star was it was built by private contractors.
Yes, so it mentions that it was a joint project.
Yeah, okay.
But
that's your problem right there.
Yeah. And last few stats, apparently it's 120 kilometres wide, crew of 342,000, capable of carrying 843,000 passengers, and enough supplies to last 3 years. So there you go.
Only 3 years?
Yeah, well, I suppose you got to feed 843,000 people if you had 1.1 million people with crew and that many passengers. It's a lot of bully beef.
Let's just feed them all 2 minute noodles.
See, and just to prove what a newbie I am, I only saw all the robot chicken Star Wars stuff in the last 6 months for the first time.
Really?
Yeah, seriously.
Wow.
Just about wet myself, but I'd never come across them before.
You terrify me sometimes.
Yeah, I know. I really appreciate what brilliance they are, but first time I come across
speechless,
them.
Speechless, yeah. What do you say to that?
That's what I'm here for.
It's proof of the pudding is what I'd say.
That's right.
JJ, I think there's good news about JJ Abrams basically indicating that the whole dirty aesthetic and the dirty used aesthetic and the frontier spirit was missing from the new movies and how he would like to bring that back.
Well, he's doing well because I read today that he's auditioning for just one part in Bristol in the UK. So if ever that's going to bring the dirty aesthetic, it'll be there. Sorry to any Bristol listeners. And they had to close off the lines before dawn on the day of auditions. They've just, thousands and thousands of people. And they were only after it was someone, I think, around the age of 18, athletic and good looking. I find it hard to believe there are that many people from Bristol that are 18, athletic and good looking. Or any city, to be fair.
Well, it's a university town. I mean, it's
true.
It's going to have a few people of that general-ish description, I'm sure.
And some people apparently flew from, I think it was India and somewhere else for these auditions, for this one part.
Wow.
Wow.
Who would have thought there were Star Wars fanatics?
Yeah, it's just amazing, isn't it?
And
if they want a boring, silly Australian 31-year-old, I'll happily volunteer,
Yeah, I was only an hour and a half away from the Fox Studios where they shot the last one. Never even heard about the auditions, but then that shouldn't surprise anyone after my robot chicken disclosure.
The closest I've ever got to a cattle call would be turning up for one for Queen of the Damned and one for Willow.
Oh, that's pretty impressive, though.
Willow?
Well, not really. I wasn't just turning up for the cattle call. Isn't that impressive?
Oh, at least you tried.
They did. They lied to my face in the casting office, though.
What happened?
Oh well, they had what was it? They had typical Lucas. Bruce Boxleitner and who the hell? What other B-list movie? Or Seal's movie star, but they just gave me a bit of basic information about the movie, and subsequently all of it turned out to be completely false.
Well, it sounds like Lucas. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm pretty sure that considering I was just there to apply for one of the goons in the background who rides around on a horse.
You would have been a kick-ass goon though.
Thank you.
Oh, no, see, I mean that in a totally positive way. We've had these discussions before, but you'd be made for a part like that. You look intimidating, is what I'm saying. I don't see why today is a negative. I think it's a bloody badge of honour to be intimidating, because I sure as hell aren't.
I wish I was intimidating.
Yeah, I was going to say, Chrissy, intimidating is not a word I put. I mean, obviously, once you get today's sign, you realise you're not. But if you walk past you in the street, you're intimidating.
Okay.
Just because, you know, it's... Anyway, I'm not going to dig a hole any deeper than I already have.
No, you'll be joining Marvel Heroes at this rate.
Yeah, that's right.
I can't stop laughing now.
Speaking of J.J. Abrams, it's been pretty much set in stone that December 2015 is Episode 7's release date, assuming that there's not some enormous delay in shooting. That's when we should all be slobbering to lay our eyes on it.
Yeah, well, in response to a question, I suspect rhetorical, posed by Tio, no, it is not too early to get excited.
No, I'd agree with him.
I'm totally excited, like big Kev level of excited.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't want to do that. You're going to start sweating through your Australian flag shirt.
Oh, yeah.
It's 32 degrees here, so I'm already sweating through.
Oh, that's terrible. Isn't big Kev dead?
Yeah, he is.
I think so.
He died a few years back.
Okay.
And came back as Clive Palmer. That's my theory anyway. All right, is there anything else we want to throw out there before we wrap it up?
No, I think you probably managed to offend everybody in
including
all
you.
Spheres. No, no. Never. I'll kill you. I'm not insulted. You're dead.
That's right. See, I told you you're intimidating. Thanks, as always, for sticking with me, you two, for starters.
I'm about to pull a call out, see if anyone else wants me for a podcast, because I'm thinking this one's about to break up.
Yeah, that's right. Now we're going to try and get to 100 at least. It's episode, what's this, 68? Yeah, we've got a ways to go.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
You all signed contracts? No, you didn't. So, yeah, thanks everyone for listening. It's always appreciated. And thank you for your reviews on iTunes or Stitcher. Not that there's been any the last fortnight, but we did have a run of them there a little while back and we appreciated them. Stitcher, I'm not aware of a single person that listens to us on that yet. And I did have a nice little widget on the website that would display the latest episode, so you could just click play, but it got stuck at episode 65 and never updated. So I removed it.
Right. Yeah. Well, this is working out well.
but we are on Stitcher.
Really good at technology, aren't we?
And there's a link in every episode show notes. If you are a Stitcher user, then we are definitely on there.
If you send us a stamp addressed envelope and $5, we'll send you the podcast on a C60 cassette tape. How's that?
Well, I tell you what, I don't know. Yeah, don't blame Stitcher, not us. Bastards. You know, I reckon there's a market for the cassette thing. That could actually work.
Oh, the hipsters would love that.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. Where can we buy cassette tape?
Sadly, I've only got two or three of them, but I've still got shrink wrap two or three TDK tapes.
Wow.
Might be worth something one day, or they'll just rot. So, yeah, please drop us a line if you'd like to on contact@oceanicgamer.com, including if you want Christy to come live in your basement in America.
Wait, not basement.
Sorry, not basement.
It puts the lotion on.
Yeah. Or visit our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheOceanicGamer. My Twitter handle is also TheOceanicGamer. Christy's is Evil Flaming Cat. And Simon tweets regularly under RPGBeatsRL. And shout out to for Chrissy's Twitch channel, twitch.tv/evilflamingcat. Oh, and you've even got your YouTube in there, Christy, you publicity tart.
You copy-pasted it from the previous line.
Right. So,
you can't blame
right.
me for that.
That's not you. Yeah, it's not in pink. That's true. So, and then I go on to read, you'll find previous episodes of the show on iTunes, but I've already said that. And then mumbled acknowledgement and awkward pauses. So have a great weekend. And remember, if your pug wipes, it's probably because one of us was in it or one of those fucking level 90s that zoomed up from level 1. Bye.
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 From the coldest depths of interstellar space to the nastiest packed urban sprawls of Coruscant, this was Flashpoint.